Get a worksheet, by the way. Everybody buy a worksheet? We're good to go. All right. It's real easy. And I know that there's sometimes that there's folks we would call a hypocrite. And really, what he's saying is somebody who acts or pretends to be something that they're not. And that can be to the degree that we pretend that we're saved and play the game of religion. And we have a head knowledge of information, but we don't really have faith in our heart. We haven't really trusted. We haven't humbled ourselves before God. But you know what? Even after we're saved, there are going to be hints of these things. And really, that's kind of why I've done it. Because the fact is, if truth be known, all of us have played the hypocrite somewhere along the way. We've done something that really wasn't true. Now, I don't think that, if you come into church and you've had a bad day, you're being a hypocrite if you smile and say, everything's all right. Because everything is all right because it's in the Father's hand. So don't come in here and say, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. We're all walking around like this, I don't want that, On the other hand, we also know when we're kind of putting on. And to be honest with you, other folks know when we're putting on too. And we have to be careful that, we want to be what we claim we are. And we want to be what God wants us to be. And so all these little things, so there's hints of these things even in good Christians. Good is relative, I understand. But none of us is perfect. If you say we have no sin, we make God a liar and the truth is not in us. That's what John said when he wrote to believers in 1 John. So we have to kind of take our halos off and come to church with everybody else and realize where we are. But that still is not no excuse to just let it go. And so sometimes we need to shine a little microscope on, a little magnifying glass, and say, Lord, where is there some things I can do to be a little closer to you? When we've been talking about on Sunday morning, it says, be ye being filled. That means being filled is a constant thing. And that means that there's so many different areas and nooks and crannies of our hearts and our lives, and some of we don't even really recognize that they exist until the Lord puts a spotlight on them, shows them. So then we have to confess those things and get them out of the way, let the Spirit come in. So and it's a constant process of being filled, because we'll never be perfectly filled, but we could be pretty good. To the point where Paul was talking about some leadership in the church, says ought to be blameless. He didn't say that you're going to be absolutely impeccable, but blameless. What does that mean? Their life is clean. Though there may be some things between them and the heart, only the Lord knows. Be honest with you, when we look at it from man's eyes, they're very small, and their walk with the Lord is very sweet. And that's what we're aiming for. I'm going to read this passage again. I know it's 12 verses, but I want to put it all into context, and here we go. Luke chapter 12. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all. So he wanted everybody to understand this. Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. This little thing that slides in there that we don't, it goes undetected, and if we don't even think about it being there, we can't see it, but it's there. And it's that acting as something that we're not. He says, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. In other words, you can't hide hypocrisy forever. It will be seen. And I think it also will be seen for what it is, how bad it is, or maybe, and don't get me wrong, how not so bad it is. You don't justify sin, but you're not going to cast somebody out of the church because they had a surprise party and lied to their husband so they could get him to the party. You don't justify in sin, but you know what I'm saying? It's the same thing, I'm really not feeling bad, but I'm just going to go in and put on a good face here, and because I don't want to pull everybody else down. It's not that you're trying to sin. It's not that you're trying to do bad. I'm not justifying sin. But the fact is, if you found out your husband went behind your back and gave you a birthday. Well, maybe you don't want a birthday party. That's good. I'm getting myself in a hole here, aren't I? But he went behind your back and got you a diamond ring, kind of hit the truth about it, and you finally got the diamond ring. You're probably not going to be mad at him. All right. So, I think you understand what I'm saying. But there's nothing that will be covered that won't be found out. Verse 3. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness. This is a real hypocrisy here. Things you've talked behind somebody's back. You've gossiped. You're talking about being a Christian, but you've sliced some folks up with your words, and you're slandered somebody, and where you said some things that you knew was going to hurt them, pull them down. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. It's a hard thing when you're talking about somebody and all of a sudden they come up behind you to hear what you said. You hope it was good words. That's why you need to keep your words sweet. You might have to eat them. Verse 4, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that can kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall feel. Fear him which hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. That's God he's talking about. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues, unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to do. Let's pray. We're going to do a part 2 of this hypocrisy will not always be hidden. Hypocrisy will not always be hidden. Let's pray. Father, give me thank you for your word. And these little things are subtle. And I think sometimes, Lord, we think if it's not a big sin, it's really not a sin. But you said that all have missed the mark, sinned, and come short of the glory of God. And Lord, it's these little sins that we think nobody knows about, no one sees, that can often do the most damage. And they won't go unseen. They're not going to be hidden forever. And we talk about you and we're with our friends and relatives who are saved, and then we kind of forget we know you when we're out in public when we're around those who don't particularly care for you. And then we wonder why our prayers hit the ceiling and bounce back. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see ourselves here this evening, just little things if it may be, so we can draw closer to you. Rise up in arms of faith, be full of your Spirit. So Lord, we ask for your Spirit to teach in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Real quick, went through these. Hypocrites think they can slide things by. Number one, unnoticed. Hypocrisy is a dangerous thing. Hypocrisy can be very dangerous, especially if we don't recognize it. And I won't go through the scope of hypocrisy because I did that several times already. Number two, way down on your list there, number two, hypocrisy will eventually come to light. We will be seen for what we are. We cannot hide it. You know what? Bible says, be sure your sin shall find you out. I think sometimes God finds us out discreetly at first. And we know that he knows. But if we're not careful, we'll say, well, yeah, but no one else really knows. So I'm going to keep doing it. Then maybe he might have to let it known a little bit more. You see, there comes a time when God says, okay, all right, you're going to play that game, we're done. You're going to have to get it hit hard. I've been trying to teach you a lesson, but if you're going to take advantage of my mercy, then we'll just let you get the full gist of it. Now, even then, he does so to draw us back to restore us to himself. Many lives have been destroyed just simply because we thought we can get away with it. And no one knows. Number 3, hypocrites fear the wrath of man more than the wrath of God. Now think about this, because this could have come into play in what we're going to talk about here at the end this evening. We care more what other people think than what God thinks. You see, the fact is, we can put on a really good show. But see, that's what when we're playing the game. I hate to use the word hypocrite because we have such a different connotation of it. It simply means somebody who's pretending to be something that they're not. And that can be to many different degrees. And we think, well, I'm going to go ahead and pretend. I'm going to play the game. And so they'll all think I'm okay so that I can get further up in the hierarchy, or they'll like me, or I won't get kicked out of the friend out of this friend group of mine, or don't go looking for them, but there are blogs and stuff on the internet of how people, they talk about they have been they're free of the independent Baptist cults. Now I know there's every church has a personality, and there's some things that go on that I don't particularly like. I'll be honest with you. But they'll say, well, they're all hypocrites. And I'll tell you why. Because the person writing is a hypocrite. They've been playing the game a long time, and now they're saying they're not. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. Now, somebody maybe needed to tenderheartedly, maybe there was somebody in the leadership of that church, or wherever they were, that needed to apologize. I mean, there may be some people who did some things wrong. But they were playing along with it too. And they're going to say, well, I'm done. I don't believe any of that. Well, then you didn't believe any of it before. They went out from among us because they were not of us. Because if they had been of us, they would have no doubt stayed with us. That's what the Bible says. Now, I'm not saying devil doesn't get the best of us sometimes, and we go out. I mean, even Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me, loving this present world. He didn't say he lost his salvation. He didn't say he was never saved. He just says he's forsaken because he's gotten caught up in the world. And that does happen. But probably if you asked Demas if he was saved, he'd probably still tell you he was. Demas didn't leave the faith, became a neo-evangelical. You know what I'm saying? He probably was in heaven. But he got to the point where he wasn't really, he kind of went along with the rules. He kind of went along with these things, but it was just kind of part of the game, I guess. And he said, that's not who I am. Number four, we found a hypocrite's trust the blessings of man more than the blessings of God. Now, I said he trusts the wrath of man more than the wrath of God. He trusts the blessings of man more than the blessings of God. What do you mean? He's somebody who's playing the game, who doesn't live practicing the presence of God. Practicing the presence of God. God is everywhere you are. God sees every thought, every word, every deed, every little snide thing. Every time you rolled your eyes at your wife, guys, every one of those things, he sees every single thing. And we live as if he doesn't see it. And in fact, it's almost like, well, fact is, be honest with you, they're not really living, practicing the presence of God. It's almost like they'll tell you intellectually they know God's here, but in all practicality, in the way they live the life, they live as if he's not anywhere nearby. But who is nearby and who is seeing is this person in flesh and blood. And I want to impress them because I don't want them to get mad at me. I don't want them to go against me. Well, if that was the case, when Pharaoh wouldn't have ever gone, Moses would have never gone to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. He was, I'm not going to go. He did. He kind of said, I'm not going to talk to Pharaoh. He said, listen, I'm with you. Go. You trust me. Do what I've asked you to do. You go. And by the way, he's going to say no. But that's okay. That's all part of the plan. Now, you're funny. I hope Moses had that in his mind, but, he got kind of discouraged in there. But God told him right up front, he says, he's going to say no. Don't worry about that because I'm going to show him and the whole nation who God is. And by the way, I'm going to show Israel who God is. And all that was part of his plan. But the fact is, people who are not God conscious, I mean, really being a saved person, living as a Christian means being God conscious. I mean, God is as real as any human being in flesh, but not only that, he supersedes any human being in flesh. He's more powerful. He's more wise. He can take care of our needs. He's more of a protector than any human flesh or anything. And so he's just as real, but he's better. The reality of God is better than the reality of man. But someone who's not living in a God consciousness, a hypocrite, when you walk into a church, you think everybody in this church must have it all worked out. And then when you find out they don't, you say, well, a bunch of hypocrites. I've had people come in here and say, I saw somebody from your congregation do so and so and so, and so. I know your church is full of hypocrites. And the fact is, you know what? It was somebody who had gotten saved about 4 weeks before, and they saw him outside of Walmart smoking a cigarette. Well, I know some good Christians who are having a hard time getting rid of that cigarette. I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying it's hard. You know, well, you shouldn't ever have that problem. Well, you shouldn't have taken this first smoke. I understand. And you didn't, so you don't have the problem. I have to admit, I took 3 puffs when I was a teenager. Three puffs. And I thought, this is the dumbest thing in all my life. Why in the world would I want to spend my money on that? I wish I could say I never took one, but I did. I'd like to say I never took a drink of alcohol, but I did. And that one scared me. I won't tell you what kind it was, but I took a drink of a beer and I said, I like that. And I remember my mom telling me, she says, Sterling, she says, you had too many uncles die face down in the gutter because of alcohol. And of course, my mama's, I'm not gonna do that. But I tell you what, when I did that, mama's face was right there. Thank God for mamas. I wish I could say I never did, but I did. But I made a conscious decision, not anymore. I like it too much. That's dangerous. Dangerous. Now, we're worried about what man thinks as far as whether they like us or not and so forth and so on. That's the same thing that gets at peer groups in high school. Kids will do stupid things. Gangs. You know, will go along because that's the peer group. They see the person. But 4 says they also care about the blessings. They think, well, what I can get out of this is better than what I can get out of God. Now, we know better than that. And so the fact is, we'll do what we know God doesn't want us to do to get the ear of somebody else down here because we think, well, they can get me what I want, whatever it might be. Just maybe position, maybe just to have a friend, maybe to be the cool dude. And by the way, adults do the same thing, you know. They do the same thing. And so we say we live, we love God, we live in the conscience of who he is, and yet we're doing what somebody else wants us to do because we like the blessings that we think we're going to get out of God more than, out of man, than we think about the blessings we're going to get out of God. Number 5, this is new stuff, and we'll finish tonight. Now, with those things in mind, and I know it's funny when you go in that you think, well, this has nothing to do with hypocrisy. It has a lot to do with hypocrisy because hypocrisy is playing a game, it's playing a role that's not really who you are in your heart. You know what? This was partly my fault. This was partly what my issue was. One is I had a hard time trying to give somebody the gospel because one was I was afraid they were going to tell them the wrong thing and lead them the wrong direction. I really didn't want to do that. But there's a fix to that. Learn your Bible. So the problem with that is laziness. The cure is giving all diligence to add to your faith, which is what we're all supposed to do. But I'll be honest with you, you know, for some of us, giving somebody else the gospel means you're standing up for him. And you're taking the risk of losing your relationship with this person you're about to talk to. Isn't that part of what's going on in there? And you say, well, I don't want to lose that relationship because then I'll lose my opportunity to try to lead them to the Lord. And the fact is, we're not here, we get all tense. And before long, we start blurting a bunch of stuff out. And they think we're crazy because we're going bananas up here. It's bouncing around in our head, dum, 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 trying to get the job done. When really, watch me, telling somebody what Jesus did for you should be almost as normal as telling them what you had for dinner. it should be at least as normal as me telling you things that my dad did for me when I was a kid. Telling you about my relationship with him and good times that we had. It should be very normal. Now, number 5 says this: who you choose to associate with on earth makes a difference whether Jesus associates with us. When I give the gospel to a teenager, this usually works real well for a teenager. And then I go in and say, well, we want to get baptized. This is the illustration I use. I said, of course, we don't hardly even have a mall down here anymore, but I used to say, pretend you and your boyfriend are walking down the mall, and he sees his buddies coming. And he shoos you into the shoe store, because I know you could spend a good bit of time in there. He shoos you into the shoe store, and when he sees you're out of sight, he goes over and talks to his buddies. And when he's done talking to his buddies, and they leave, and he can see that they're all gone, then he comes back over and talks to you. How would you feel? And they usually say, well, I wouldn't feel very good about that at all. I said, no. I tell you what you want him to do. You went and walk up to his buddy and says, this is my girl. She's the thing. I'll tell you what, this is my girl. You want him to own up to you. That's what you want. Now, if he doesn't own up to you, you're going to say, well, what I thought we had isn't anywhere near as stable as I thought it was. It's not as deep as I thought it was. It's not as meaningful as I thought it was. And that's the truth. Look at the verse here in verse 8. It says, also I say unto you, remember this is all in the context of hypocrisy, whosoever shall confess me before men. That means owning up, if he really is a Christian, owning up to the fact that he's a Christian. Not pretending he's not a Christian. See, hypocrisy can go both directions. It's acting. He says, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. In other words, up in heaven where eternity is, the angels are going to hear them say to God, says, I don't know, no. Now, I think there's different degrees of this. I think one is, and you've heard the old phrase out of the, I think it's Matthew. He says, there are going to be folks who's going to say, Lord, Lord. And he says, hey, depart from me, I never knew you. But we did this, and we did that, and we did that, and we did that. Oh, yeah, but I never knew you. Oh, we did it in your name. Oh, you might have used my name, but I never knew you. You were playing the hypocrite. You were playing the part of a Christian, but it wasn't in your heart. And I think that's part of it. They weren't saved at all. But I also think, and of course, he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. But also, when Jesus ascended to heaven, where did he go? When he ascended to heaven, where did he go? Right hand of the Father. To do what? To make intercession for us. Now, Proverbs says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So the fact is, for a Christian, it all falls in place there. This is the principle. For the Christian who goes around and says, who said, well, I don't want to push my religion on anybody. I don't want to tell anybody. I just, well, it's okay to open up a little bit. Now, don't open up their throat and stick your hand all the way down and say, you got to get saved. That's not going to help anybody. But, are you a Christian? Yeah, I am. Are you? Well, no, I'm not. In fact, I don't like Christians. Oh, well. I got something you ought to meet. It ought to be just as normal as it can be. But if I deny him in front of men, that sin is going to keep me from getting my prayers answered, because my advocate, my intercessor, my mediator is sitting in the right hand of the Father. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord's not going to hear me. Now, I think this too, though. He knows when you talk a talk, but there's not a walk. And we can regard the iniquity in our heart of simply saying, I'm going to be something I'm not. I'm going to look like something. I'm going to look like a big shot. And it's not there. Now, going back to our early messages, that's dangerous, especially for other younger Christians. Because, listen, young Christians can see somebody that's really playing the game, and they think, boy, they're just a wonderful Christian. But they're not getting blessed like God blesses Christians. In fact, they're having things going on in their life that doesn't go, and then you start getting confused. God is doing what he said he was going to do, and then we're looking at it and saying, what are we doing? I'm just saying, I'm not saying it always happens that way, but there are some dangers that way. We can raise kids, and we can come to church and play the game. Now, I'm not saying we're any of us parents are perfect. I'm not perfect. I've messed up so many times. But there was also a lot of times when I confessed and forsook my sin, not only to him, but to them. God, it's more important for them to understand truth than for me to save face. But there's times when we give a good show at church or when we're with our Christian friends, and then we go home and it's not the same thing. And it confuses. Hypocrisy confuses. Let me kind of walk through the verse one more time. It says, also I say in verse 8, whosoever shall confess, give assent, to have a covenant and acknowledge with. He says, I am with Christ and Christ is with me. We have a deal. We have a covenant. I am saved by the blood of Christ. He that ever confesses me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Now, he didn't say you're perfect. I mean, the fact is, we all have sins we probably don't even know about. If sin is coming short of the glory of God, I'll guarantee you we all came short of the glory of God somewhere today. Now, the fact is, God is saying, well, that's the least of our worries. Let's make sure we got this and this and this and this. Now, he may come back to you and refine you and turn up the heat to keep getting that and getting more and more and more and more and more out of that of that out of you over the years. But the fact is, he's saying, if you love God, I mean, you really love God, and you're trying your best to wherever you know to try to keep yourself clean, and when you mess up, you keep it confessed, and you're just happy to be a Christian. He says, you may be a 1 week old Christian, messing your pants, blowing it all over the place, but you love God and you're doing everything you can. The best you know, you're living, you just haven't learned a lot of it. He's going to say, that's mine. I've got 3 grandkids, and they're all still in diapers, and they're all mine. Proud of it. God says, hey, they're mine. When I walk in a room and Joanna goes, Poppy, I love every minute of it. Now, she may go over and do something wrong over here in nursery. So, well, that's the preacher's kid. Yeah, it is the preacher's kid. But she's mine. Because she's confessing me before others, God says. But he says, he that denies me, he says, of course, he says that confessing before the angels, that means he's referring to eternal perspective on our actions there. But he that denieth, contradicts, disavows me, rejects, abdicates the position of child of God, tries to hide it, doesn't want everybody to know, kind of refuses it. When you deny that before men before men, you should be denied or disavowed, rejected before the angels of God. In other words, he's saying, yeah, I know who he is. He's on his own right now. He may be coming to heaven one of these days, but he's on his own right now. He's on his own. Hypocrites care more about what other men think than what God thinks. And that goes both ways. When men think about us, what men think about us only lasts as long as the mortal man lasts. What God thinks about us affects our whole eternity. What if I'm walking away from playing that game and he's denying me in heaven, so to speak, and I'm not getting my prayers answered, And I missed some things in my life, a couple steps that I should have had that was going to help me do greater things for him. And I blew it. We don't know. We just don't know. Who was I talking to the other day? Someone was saying about this. Says, Somebody. I think I said it from here. They said, I hate to miss church because I'm afraid God's going to do something and I'm going to miss out. That's me. Really is. I don't want to miss out. So who you choose to associate on earth makes a difference with your associations in heaven. Number six, we can fool others, but we can't fool God. We can fool others, but we can't fool God. Look at verse 10. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth, vilifies, defames, reviles, blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Now, some people call this the unpardonable sin. And let me kind of explain what this means. When Jesus got on the cross, he had been whipped. He had a crown of thorns put on him, pushed into his scalp by the rod of the reed, nailed to the cross. The cross was dropped in the hole. His bones fell out of joint. And he said, Father, forgive them. Jesus did not come to destroy, but to give life. He didn't come to condemn. We're condemned already. When there's people in Samaria didn't care whether he was coming through and he was heading to Jerusalem, and John and James came back and said, we ought to just call down fire and get rid of those old boys. He said, no, I didn't come. He said, well, wait a minute. You don't know what spirit you're of. I didn't come to take life. I came to give life. When it says you can, if you speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. In other words, there's not a sin that Jesus did not pay for, even as sin of you reviling him. Well, wait a minute. But unto him that blasphemeth, vilifies, defames, rails on, reviles against the Holy Ghost, basically saying this, the Holy Ghost doesn't know what he's talking about. I know what he's saying, but I don't believe that. He that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. What's he saying there? When the Holy Ghost speaks to our hearts and draws us to the Lord, there's no denying what God has done. You can't say, well, God, I didn't hear that. God knows he was there. He's the Holy Ghost. We can attempt to deny that we knew the truth. But when the Holy Spirit of God has revealed something to us, we cannot deny having been given the truth. So there are no excuses for not believing the Lord and following through with what the Holy Spirit has taught us and led us to do. You may be able to discount the natural and the physical things of this world, but you cannot discount the supernatural. The unpardonable sin, listen, is to refuse the truth when it's given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and always begins with this: you're a sinner who needs to be saved. The heavens declare his glory. Romans 1 says no one has an excuse. Because when we knew him as God, we refused to glorify him as God. Well, how do we know it's God? The Holy Spirit is working. He has drawn all men to himself. He has put it in all of us. I'll guarantee you, every person, I really believe this, every person in the world has sometime or another looked up in the sky or was wondering or something gone through and said, there must be something bigger than me. And we said, oh, no, that can't be. I'm the biggest thing in all the world. The whole world surrounds around me. When we realize that we're just one little speck in the middle of the universe and God's everything, I think we'll come to him. The blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is basically saying, the Holy Ghost, hey, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do anyway. It's playing a game. It's playing a game. Number seven. I like this one. Now remember I said Some men are more afraid of man's wrath than God's wrath. Some folks are more, they're looking forward to the blessings of man more than the blessings of God. We're more concerned about what man can give. We're not living in the presence of God. Number seven is this. It is better to be thought a fool by man than to be a hypocrite before God. Let me say that again. It's better to be thought a fool by man than be a hypocrite before God. I cannot take you to the exact moments, but I remember several times in high school where I was put in a position where I had to either go with the crowd and deny my Savior, or be thought to be the little goody two-shoes church boys, might as well put a bow tie and saddle shoes on me, and be that little boy in the corner there and laugh at me because he's a Christian. Now, I wasn't a perfect Christian. I did a lot of things I shouldn't have done in school, I understand. But comparatively to some of our friends around there, you know, they already thought I was a goody two-shoes. And there was a couple times when they nailed me down. Now, I'll be honest, and I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just simply saying I had to make a decision. And I remember consciously thinking this through the first couple times. After that, I said, well, that decision's already made. I don't need to change it. The first couple times, it's like, now what do I say? Do I deny my Savior and go along with what they're doing? Or do I admit that I'm saved and I'm a sinner saved by grace, and because of that, that's where I stand, and I've got to disagree with this person that I'm wanting something out of, maybe it's just a friendship or a pat on the back, or to be associated with that crew, that bunch, be some of the cool kids. I was never one of the cool kids. But there's some times we've got to make it. I'd rather them look at me and say, you're crazy, Sterling. You're an idiot. You really believe this. I'd rather be thought a fool than be a hypocrite before God, deny him. Say I'm a Christian and turn right around and deny him. You've heard my, and I love my father, and he was saved, and all this was different once, but the last 10, 15 years or more. But I remember him looking me square in the eye and says, Sterling, this is stupid. You can't live life like this. It's fine, go learn how to do right, but it's stupid. This is not reality. You can't survive in a world living like this. And I remember him doing that. That's my dad. I want my dad to like me. I want my dad to think I'm okay. And I remember saying, Dad, I just can't. I'm just going to, that's where I am. We fear man and find it difficult to answer the objections and the oppositions of man. And thus we fear man and follow man and give unto man, thinking we will be thought a fool if we don't. I think God will answer the opposition for us. There was times, a couple times with my dad, a couple times with the other folks. I was surprised. I went home and wrote it down because I thought it was pretty good. What I needed to say when I stood for him. I mean, I wasn't just trying to look like a Christian. Well, I'm going to stand for him so I look like a good Christian. It was like, I'm going to stand for him even though I look like a fool. Because that's probably what it looked like. And he stepped in. Look at verse 11. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and the powers, take no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye shall ought to say. See, it all goes together with the other verse. He says, don't talk down the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit says, go ahead and tell them who you are. No, I'm not going to do that. So what have I done? I've quenched the Spirit. I've told the Spirit to go over in the corner and sit down and shut up. And then I wonder why, because I don't know what to tell the guy. See, the part about being a hypocrite has a lot to do with whether you're sold out or not. See, the more sold out you are, the more you're filled with the Spirit, the more you're filled with the Spirit, when you take a step toward the Spirit, it's kind of like he gives grace to the humble. He's like a tailwind. But so when we say, I'm going to do what I want, he resists the proud. And we're going our own way. And the fact is, it's like going through one of those, you know, a wind tunnels or something, or the hurricane's coming, and we're getting resist. We're working hard, and we might be making a little bit of progress, but the wind's holding, it's resisting us. And we wonder why we feel like we spend our life, we're Christians, and we're spending our life going against the tide. It's because we haven't decided it's all or nothing. See, he didn't say, well, write this down because this might have. He says, listen, don't worry about that. You let me be your all in all. And then I'll be your all in all. You know, we say, well, as soon as you are my all in all, then I'll let you. As soon as you're there for me all the time, then I'll let you. Doesn't work that way. We come by faith. So we don't have to worry about having to answer even other hypocrites. God will do the talking for us. That's what he's saying. We fear man more than God because our faith is being exercised more toward man than toward God. Let me say that again. We fear man more than God because our faith, what we trust in, what we think has the power. We fear man more than God because our faith is being exercised toward man than it is toward God. We're more afraid not to obey man than to not obey God. And yet we say we believe God. But God's bigger than man. You know, it's not two guys here, one looks bigger, but one's kind of hunkier than the other one. This was taller. We're trying to figure which one we're going to run with, who's going to be our protector. There's no match here. You got God, and then you got a bunch of shovelfuls of dirt that God put a soul in that's trying to fight him. If we say we believe in God and in his power and his truth, then it only makes sense we would obey God and leave the results into the hands of God. What am I going to tell them? I'll take care of that when you get there. If we say we believe in the truth of God and yet we do not obey the word of God, we make God a liar and the truth's not in us, really. I'm going to reword this question, almost done. How real are you? How much of you is a real Christian? What I'm saying is, you can be saved, but the Bible says Christian means a little Christ. Now, we can be saved yet so as by fire and not really live like Christ at all. You know, we call ourselves a Christian, but we're acting a Christian. How much of a Christian are you? I'm not talking about how much saved you are. You're the saved, you're not. That's all done deal. How real are you as a Christian? How real are the ones that you hang around with? You become the books you read, the things you see, the people you spend time with. You just do, little by little by little by little by little. For a little while, the momentum is okay, but eventually you kind of come around to where they are. Be very careful, because hypocrisy is very dangerous. Sell out. Well, see, everyone is going to think I'm a fool. I'd rather be called a fool by man than be called a fool by God. Father, thank you for speaking to us here this evening. You've been very gracious to that. I'm glad to kind of get past this topic here this evening. But Lord, it's something that kind of steps on all of our toes sometime or another. Or speak to our hearts. Your heads are bowed.